Avis, how are you?
I'm fine, thank
you. Give me a little background on why you called. And I know we're going to talk about Betty and Barney Hill.
I belong to a MUFON chapter here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And for many years, I never really shared that I knew Betty Hill. And I would often hear her name come up, and people would discuss her. And one day, somebody was saying something, and I joined in the conversation, and our MUFON director was very surprised that I knew Betty. And he said, would you be willing to do an interview with her? And I did.
So now, how did you become acquainted with Betty Hill?
Well, I used to live up in New Hampshire for many, many years. And Betty.
That explains it. No Texas accent.
No, I don't.
I must warn you, it's catching,
Betty. Well, I met her off and on, but when I really started to make contact with her, I owned a boutique up in New Hampshire, and she would come shopping, and I had two dachshunds, and I would take them to work with me occasionally, and Betty loves animals, and especially dachshunds, so we began talking. And that's really, over the dogs, how our friendship began.
So when you met Betty Hill, she probably had no idea you were interested in UFOs. Well, maybe you weren't.
Well, I was somewhat interested in them. Of course, I had been exposed to her story, and Betty was sort of a local legend around our area. But I have to admit that it wasn't until I met Betty, and she was kind enough to come one night with all her slides, and do a presentation for a group of friends that I had. And I really began studying about UFOs and Betty's case myself.
Got you interested.
Yes, she did, very much. Well, I think the thing that people, and you have to realize the time frame, there wasn't a whole lot out there for people to go to discuss, like we have today. We have websites and all kinds of meetings and MUFON. And at that time, there was virtually nothing. And Betty was very much alone with what happened to her. But once the book, Interrupted Journey, came out, people would find her. She was always amazed how they found her and make their way to her door to share a story.
Uh-huh.
What most people don't realize is Betty had a scuffle with the two. She called the UFO entities astronauts.
Maybe not a fist fight, but at least a wrestling match.
It was a wrestling match, for sure.
Uh-huh.
She was not going to go on that ship. And they won, of course. And finally, she just came to the resolve that, well, I'm going to go on board. And her thought was, I just hope they let me go. But in the process of the scuffle, before entering the ship, the scuffle had her dress that she had on had a lining underneath it, and the lining was ripped from
mm-hmm.
the scuffle, and Betty still has the dress,
mm-hmm.
and I show where the lining was ripped, and also when she was on board and asked to disrobe one of the aliens, tried to help her disrobe, and he did not have any idea what a zipper was.
Hmm.
Ripped the zipper. He seems to think that it was that he did not know how to operate a zipper.
Uh-huh.
And so you can see on the dress where the zipper part of the dress was torn away.
They took her clothes off and examined her.
Yes, they did.
And where was Barney during this time?
He was in another room.
Were they doing the same thing to him?
She believes so. She
yeah.
never entered that room. And
uh-huh.
What was going on with Barney, a laughable incident, was that while she was on the table, some of the aliens that were in with Barney came into her room, and they began to tug on her teeth, and they were very excited. And she finally told them that her teeth didn't come out.
So Barney had dentures.
He had dentures.
Uh-huh.
So
pretty funny little episode there. By the way, was Betty Hill haunted the rest of her life by this experience, or was she able to put it in perspective, or what?
Well, in the beginning, she had the nightmare, and she could not piece together the incident as a whole, and that's why they began. And Barney seemed to be more upset and distraught over the event than Betty. And she was in
this
the
question about the star map always puzzled me. I mean, how could Betty recognize that on the wall of the UFO and later identify where these people were from?
Very early on after it happened, she went to her parents' house, and the star map just stuck in her mind, and she did not want to forget. So what she did was she took a piece of plywood, and she took some Christmas tree lights, put the lights in the plywood where she remembered the markings were on the star map in the spaceship.
Yeah, and I've read where she believed that the aliens actually came back down and moved the things around and helped her locate where they were from. She had a great sense of humor, I understand.
My goodness, I will miss that for the rest of my life. I can still hear her laughing. It was had such a great ability to especially laugh at herself when need be. She was just a real super lady.
What did Betty really think about the extraterrestrials? I mean, did she think they were benign or a threat or neutral or
what? She certainly didn't see them as demons, and nor did she see them as angels. She saw them as a species that had the ability and were traveling through the universe. And were studying us as primitive life forms, and that's not anything that was told to her by the aliens. It was after many, many years of thinking about it, that's what she came up with for an explanation, and it sounded quite reasonable.
Avis, in your conversations with Betty Hill, did she ever say how the aliens communicated with her? Was it by mental telepathy, or did they speak to her, or what?
They had different ways that they communicated with Betty. Now, when she and Barney were taken in 1961, Barney had a very different idea of how the aliens communicated with him. He believed that it was telepathic. Betty believed that they were telepathic, but when they communicated with her, they used their mouth, and they spoke to her.
I wonder what kind of voices they had.
She said, I did ask her that, that it was almost broken English with a hint of an accent that you really couldn't put your finger on.
Uh-huh.
But they had a reasonable command of the English language, and with her, they communicated both ways and using their mouth.
Did they, what did they look like, traditional little grays?
Well,
or?
Traditional, except for in the sense, they were all between, Betty was, I believe, 4'11". She was a very tiny
a short woman.
Uh-huh. And some were her height, with the tallest probably being about 5 foot. And they all had different facial expressions and looks about them so that you could distinguish them. There
so you would recognize them. I mean, in other words, ETA from ETB.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Although they were all very similar in their appearance, they were a sort of a greenish-gray, bluish, and I'll use the word gray with some overtones, and they had the wraparound eyes and two slits for a nose and a mouth, and there wasn't any ears visible. But where Betty differs from the traditional that you're talking about, although other people have reported this as well, is even though they were very tiny in stature, they were very well built. The word she used was rugged. They were very rugged individuals. They had a lot of muscle tone, and their feet were as wide as they were long.
That's interesting. It looks like, but I guess you could get along, I mean, walk along with square feet.
They were very, that was the thing that amazed her the most, is that their feet were very similar to ours, except they were very wide, considering the length of the foot.
5 feet tall, muscular, well-built, silver or gray in color, but other hues, and square feet. And they kept coming back to visit her, right?
Oh, she absolutely believes they were the ones. She and Barney were abducted. They were abducted up in the White Mountains. And the aliens, in talking to Betty on the spaceship, said they had a discussion going, and Betty said, "Will I ever see you again? Because I'm not from here." And they said, "We can find you." And what happens, which is, I've never heard anyone report this, is the night when she had the scuffle with the aliens before she went on the ship. She believes she lost the blue earrings that she was wearing that evening, because when she arrived home, her earrings were gone. Now, either they took them or she lost them in the scuffle. She was not sure. But a few weeks after the incident, and it may have been a month, she and Barney were out, and they had come home, and on her dining room table was a pile of leaves. And Betty thought, what in the world? So she went over to wipe the leaves off the table, and underneath the leaves were her blue earrings.
It's like maybe they she lost them in the scuffle. They found them underneath some leaves. And
Well, they returned them to her.
Did Betty have any experiences with them in later life?
And on June 22nd.
You're talking about June 22nd, the year that she passed away?
And her daughter's habit was to go to bed rather early, because she would wake up each morning around 5:30. To start the day with Betty. Her daughter Connie did not wake up until 8 a.m. and thought that was odd. And she went out into the living room, and Betty was sitting there upright. And at the time, Betty had a sling and an ace bandage on her hand, because she had fractured her arm in three places. And her sling was off, and her ace bandage was off, and it was still curled, like it would be curled around the arm, and there was a chair about 10 feet away from where Betty would retire in this little settee. And Betty was not ambulatory at that time, but about 10 feet away lay her sling and the wrappings, the ace bandage. And the daughter went to the kitchen and noticed the back door to the house. They always threw the deadbolt at night. The door was wide open with the deadbolt still sticking out. And Connie asked Betty, her daughter, what had happened here. And Betty had no idea, except that her arm felt better.
Avis Ruffy, thanks for calling in to the show from your home down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, telling us all about Betty Hill. Interesting. Incredible. Especially that last part, where evidently the ETs were still visiting her, even in the last weeks before her death. I'm Jerry Pippin, and this is our UFO show.